So here we are,
Sunday morning,
studying through the book of Luke. Been studying through. We're going to continue to study through the book of Luke. Started in chapter 1, verse 1. We're just going to trek our way through it. We have seen how the angel Gabriel met Zechariah and how he prophesied of the birth of a son to a couple that was too old to have a baby. Yet we learned that nothing is impossible for God. In my study, I learned that Zechariah was actually pointing back to Malachi. He quoted some scripture that were the last few verses of the Old Testament. Then you got 400 years of silence. Zechariah, doing his priestly duty, is in the temple, and boom, an angel saying, "Don't be afraid. I'm bringing some good news to you. You're going to have a son. God has heard your prayer." You think, go all the way back to Genesis with me. In the beginning was God before anything else. He spoke everything into existence and called it good. God and man had perfect fellowship. But, just like we all are prone to do, man doubted God's goodness, doubted God's plan, decided to do it, try it his own way. Tempted, and he gave in to temptation, and he sinned. When man disobeyed God, sin entered the world. When sin entered the world, everything got messed up. Now, because of sin, we are separated from God. Now, because of sin, we live in a world riddled with disaster, with disease, with heartbreak. And you got people all over this world, not just throughout the ages, but even today, grappling through life, trying to find purpose in existence and pleasure, trying to find hope, trying in all the wrong places to find what they can only find in God. We can't find it in religion. Can't find it in a bottle. Can't find it in relationships. We cannot get out of this brokenness in our own power. It's impossible. But we try. We grapple. We struggle. Today, we're going to look at a very, very familiar story. And I'm praying that God will help us to connect some dots. And that it won't just be a familiar old story. That it'll be a time to celebrate what God has done in our hearts. That as we leave this place, we'll be much more motivated to live this life for Christ. Today we look at when Gabriel makes another appearance in the Bible. We're in Luke chapter 1, verse 26. In the sixth month, that's in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy with John the Baptist. Elizabeth who was barren. Elizabeth who couldn't have kids. Elizabeth who was too old to have kids. Elizabeth who probably gave up praying for kids. Now she's in her sixth month of pregnancy. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God." Y'all say favor. This word can also be translated grace. The original Greek is charis. Y'all know anybody named charis? I know of a young lady named charis. Charis means grace. It's translated here, favor. You have found favor with God. Was it because Mary was special? No, she's special because she found favor with God. Verse 31. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son. You shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And his kingdom, of his kingdom, there will be no end. And Mary said, praise the Lord, hallelujah, let it happen. Not yet. She had a legit question. She just heard all that. Number one question. How is this going to happen? I don't think this was doubt. I think it's a legit question. Mary said to the angel, well, how will this be? Since I'm a virgin. And the angel answered her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. And the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren, for nothing. Y'all say nothing. Nothing will be impossible with God. And Mary said, behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be done to me according to your word. And the angel departed her. Father, we bow now, confessing our dependency on you. Lord, as we confess sin earlier now, we confess freely that we need you. We are utterly dependent on you to help us understand your word. We are dependent on you to help, Lord, apply your word. We're dependent on you to trust you. We're dependent on you for everything. So right now, God, give us insight. Illuminate your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, first thing I want you to see here is that God has a detailed plan. God has a detailed plan. By the way, it's still unfolding. His detailed plan is still unfolding. But in this passage, Gabriel, again, was sent from God to Mary with a message. This happened in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy. And he goes to a place called Nazareth in Galilee. Basically, a nowhere town. Trey, where's your church plant? Cochran, huh? Where? About like that. Nowhere town. Do y'all remember when Philip went to his cousin, Nathanael, to tell him, we found the Messiah? Y'all, this is big. We read right over it. They found the Messiah, the Christ, the Savior. This is 30-odd years later from what we're reading now. But he finds his cousin, and he wants to tell him about Jesus. And he says, his name is Jesus of Nazareth. Y'all remember what Nathanael said? Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Guess what? Nazareth? The answer is yes. Absolutely it can. His name is Jesus. So Gabriel sent from God to Mary to a town in Nazareth I'm sorry, called Nazareth in Galilee, to a virgin who was betrothed to Joseph. Now, Joseph is of the house of David. Now, where was the Messiah to come from? The house of, the lineage of David. Now, Joseph and Mary were not fully married. They were betrothed. Back in the day, this happened usually when girls were teenagers, and a betrothal period could be a year where you're still living apart from one another, but betrothed together. It's not like an engagement in our modern time. In our modern time, engagements can be broken off without legal matters. But in this day and time, a betrothal was binding. And to break that betrothal was like a divorce. Like the bride price has already been paid. It's done. It's as good as they are going to be married forever. Fast forward, if it helps you, remember when Joseph found out that Mary was pregnant before he knew, before Gabriel visited him and caught him up. He wasn't his, so the only other thought was she was unfaithful in their betrothal, and he, being a righteous man, didn't want to cause her harm, so he planned to do what? To divorce her secretly. That's in their betrothal period. That's how serious this betrothal period is. So she's betrothed to Joseph, a righteous man, by the way, of the house of David. Gabriel's greeting shows favor from God. Y'all, don't underestimate. You know what we talked about when Zechariah was in the temple and he was visited by Gabriel and he was terrified? You got this teenage young lady, visited by an angel. Now, we said this last time, she probably expected to be visited by an angel that night just about as much as we expect to be visited by an angel ourselves today. Nevertheless, the angel comes with a beautiful message. It says, you have found favor with God. Favor. O favored one, the Lord is with you. Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor, charis, grace, with God. Gabriel announced the birth of Jesus. He said, you're going to conceive in your womb and you're going to bear a son. So this is before it even happened. This is prophesying what's about to happen. You're going to bear a son and you're going to call his name Jesus. Y'all know what Jesus means? The Lord saved. The Lord saves. God is down to the details. He'll be great. He'll be called the Son of the Most High. You know what that means? Son of the Most High God. The Lord. Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David. Now David was of the earthly lineage, but you know every Israelite knew that through the throne of David there was coming a king who would not, whose body would not see decay, who would be on the throne forever and reign. And we know now, those of us in Christ are descendants of Jacob as well. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. This is before not just the birth, but even the conception. This is being detailed out. This is before His earthly ministry. This is before His earthly birth. The Lord's in the details. The Lord is able to make a virgin miraculously pregnant. The Holy Spirit would come upon her. The power, the power of the Most High would overshadow her. And the child would be called holy. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. He is holy because He is God the Son. He is God the Son. In this passage, we see God the Father, we see God the Spirit, and we see God the Son. He is holy, the Son of God. And guys, don't miss it. Please don't miss it. This is how God came to the earth to become a man. This is how God came to the earth. So easy for us to miss it, y'all. Gabriel told Mary about Elizabeth conceiving in her old age to show her that nothing is impossible with God. It seemed to be helping Mary get her mind around these things. She was old and barren, but nothing is impossible with God. Gabriel finished delivering God's message to Mary, and he departs. And now here Mary is, thinking about all this stuff. We're going to unpack that in just a second. God's plan, by the way, for Mary was not easy. Can you imagine? Can you step back in your mind? 2,000 plus years ago, no electricity. No automobiles. No hiking boots. No air conditioning. Into a society very much honor and shame. Put yourself in Mary's shoes. You're a young lady, a virgin to be betrothed to a man who is a righteous man. Probably not a wealthy man, a carpenter, in a nowhere town. God's plan may not be easy to walk in. It definitely would not have been easy for Mary. Years later, we'll talk about it in a minute. Even during Jesus' earthly ministry, people still were pointing back, like, may not even know who his dad is. It was not an easy plan for Mary to walk in. He called Mary to a very honorable task, but it would have been an extremely difficult journey. It was not good for her reputation in public. This was part of God's plan and a result of His favor. This was His favor on her. The Lord calls us to hard things when we live for His kingdom. Y'all believe that? The Lord may call somebody in here to go to Afghanistan. I assure you, it would not be easy. But if He has the favor to call you to do that, go. Don't cling to comfort. Don't cling to safety. Don't cling to security. Don't cling to material things. God may very well call you to some hard things when you truly live for His kingdom. Living for God's kingdom does not mean easy. Living for God's kingdom often means going against the grain here and now. There's a big difference between relationship and religion. Sometimes religion feels more safe, right? More practical or conventional. Jesus is calling us to an intimate relationship with Him where He guides us where He wants us to go and He uses us. And sometimes you find yourself in a gas station and the Holy Spirit is prodding you to share the gospel. And you're thinking, that's scary. That's uncomfortable. I don't know how. I don't know what to do. And you, Alex said, you pray. You ask God for help, for the words to say. And through that relationship, guess what? He gives us the words to say. Sometimes you got one plan, and then all of a sudden God says, nope, this is your plan. God is in the very details of life, every single detail. Notice there's some good Christology in this passage. Y'all know what Christology is? Two words, Christ and ology. The study of Christ. Jesus' birth was announced to Mary by Gabriel before she conceived. Jesus was born of a virgin. I've heard people say that really doesn't matter. It absolutely matters. It was even prophesied in Old Testament passages like in Isaiah. If Jesus was not born of a virgin, then He did not fulfill the prophecies. It absolutely matters. Jesus is God. Y'all see that in this passage? There will be people trying to attack that. Jesus is not God. He's the Son of God. Well, being the Son of God, He is God. Let's look at clear passages. Here's a good Bible study tool for you, okay? Sometimes when you're studying the Bible, there's a passage that may not be very clear. Me and Forrest were talking about John 3 earlier. So what we do is we take very clear passages, and they will help us to understand those that may not be as clear. So someone may make an argument, this passage doesn't teach that Jesus is God. I argue that it does. He is holy. He is Son of the Most High. John chapter 1, I think, puts a nail in the coffin, if you will, of the argument. In the beginning was what? The Word. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him. And without Him was not anything made that was made. There's a lot of emphasis here. The Word in this passage, the Word is God and the Creator of all things. Nothing was made apart from Him. Well, who is the Word pointing to? Good question. Verse 14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen His glory, glory as the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. God was in the womb of a virgin. Jesus has always been. He is God. But He somehow left the worship and the majesty and the splendor of heaven to become a man. And the way He did it was to enter in through this to this world through the womb of a virgin named Mary. God, the Son, who has always been and will always be, stepped into humanity to walk among us, to be our Savior. Please don't Don't gloss over that. God became a man. Look at Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 8. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though He was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped or clung to or snatched or stolen, but He emptied Himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, He humbled Himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Jesus set aside His throne and His rightful worship in heaven to enter into humanity as our Savior. Jesus means the Lord saves. Jesus is great. He is the Son of the Most High. He is holy. He's going to sit on the throne of His father David, the lineage of David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will have no end. Hang Him on a cross. Put Him in a grave. But He's going to rise, and His kingdom will have no end. He's on His throne right now, seated, because it's finished. He is God. He is Savior. He is Redeemer. He is our sacrifice, our substitute, our atonement. Jesus came to this earth, the only God-man, God, so that He is sinless. Man, so that He is substitute. Don't miss it, y'all. Jesus, God, saved. Have you recognized Jesus as Lord? Have you trusted Him to forgive you of your sin? Have you submitted to His Lordship? Philippians 2, go back to Philippians 2. He doesn't need our affirmation to be Lord. And every single knee will bow. And every single tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. But if you do it today, if you do it in this life, you confess Him as your Lord and Savior, and He forgives you of your sin, and He gives you His righteousness. But if you wait, and you die without Christ as your Lord and Savior, there's still going to be a day that you confess Him as Lord. But He won't be your Savior. Have you submitted to His Lordship? Do you believe that with God all things are possible? Let's look at Mary too. We see that God has a detailed plan. God is in the details. Mary modeled glad obedience. Y'all say glad. Y'all, this is so huge. It's not just obedience. It's not just dragging her feet. It's not saying, woe is me. This is glad obedience. You know that you can have joyful obedience. Did you know that obedience produces joy? By the way, disobedience produces the opposite. It produces shame. It produces separation. It produces anxiety. But obedience produces joy. Mary models glad obedience. Let's look at Mary. Mary was a virgin, probably a teenager. Mary was greatly troubled at the saying, you're going to have a kid. You're going to name him Jesus. He's going to be the Son of the Most High. And she's like, what is happening? There's an angel in my presence. I cannot focus. What is going on around me? Greatly troubled. Tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. Mary was told that she was going to conceive as a virgin in her womb, the Son of God. Mary had a legit question. How could this happen, given that she is a virgin? Elizabeth, did y'all know that Elizabeth was Mary's relative? Did y'all know that? She's Mary's relative. John and Jesus were cousins. How cool is that? Elizabeth was able to conceive in her old age. That big, but not as big as Mary. Not just barren, not just too old to have babies, but Mary conceiving as a virgin. She was called barren, but now was in her 6th month, Elizabeth. Mary received. Don't worry, I'm not getting health, wealth, and prosperity, but y'all listen to this statement. Mary received, believed, and submitted to the Lord's plan. And she was blessed. Now, it may not be the kind of blessings that some people would want. Probably caused public scorn. It probably was a hard road to hoe. But you know what? She was blessed. She believed the message and submitted to the Lord's plan. She called herself the Lord's servant. You know what servants do? Servants do the will of their master. That's what a servant does. Servants don't say, no, Lord. You can't say, no, Lord. You get that? You can't say Lord in the same sentence as no. Because Lord means you're the boss and I'm not. And if you're the boss, then I have to say what? Yes, Lord. May your will be done in my life. Let it be done to me according to your word, she said. She had glad submission. So we see through Mary's example, we must desire the Lord's plan. I surely can't be the only one in this room who find myself at times holding things back behind my back from the Lord. Am I meddling yet? We're guilty of it. Lord, you can have everything but this. And we may not say it like that. But what are you afraid that God might take away? What are you afraid of? God calling you to. Or God calling you from. God, you can have anything but this. You understand what I'm saying? Megan and I were married. We expected one day to probably be on the mission field. Expected it. Didn't know when, didn't know how, didn't know where. I've told you a little bit about the story in the past. Looked forward to it. Went to the Longview Points GICs, and they got harder and harder to sit through because of the burning desire in our hearts for the nations to know Jesus. Those who were perishing without hope needed to know that there's a God in heaven that made them, that knows them, that loves them, that will call them into relationship, forgive them of their sin, and give them eternal life. There are people right now all around us, not even just across the seas, but here in DeSoto County, in Cochran, Mississippi, that are dying and going to hell without Jesus. They're everywhere. But the access here is so much greater than places like India or Afghanistan. And our hearts were burdened for the lostness of those places that do not have access to the gospel. And the GICs got harder and harder to sit through. And then After years of planning to go overseas, when God finally called me, I was terrified. I had a wife and three kids. To take them away from family and familiarity and safety and security, and to go to a place that I didn't know, that I couldn't even speak the language, I didn't even know how to buy potatoes. That's a real life story. I'll tell it to you later. And I remember wrestling with God in a tea field in Kenya. And I remember saying, God, I'm scared. You love my kids more than I do. If this is what you want, then we'll go. And my fear immediately became faith, and it became joy. Glad submission. Until I took it behind my back and held it open before God, it produced fear. But when it was before Him and said, God, whatever you want, may your will in my life be done, it became glad joy, joyful submission. So we get to India, and we work so hard to learn language, to establish a platform, to build relationships. We have deep, I mean y'all, deep, deep relationships with national brothers and sisters that we pray for today, that we still go back to see, that we are in communication with. That brothers and sisters that are there praying for us now as Gospel Life Church. Deep relationships. In the trenches. I know with my theology, I know with my mouth, I know that God doesn't need me. I know He doesn't need me. He doesn't need you, by the way. He doesn't need you. He is God. But man, praise Him that He would use us, even though He doesn't need us, that He would include us in His plan, in His mission. I know He doesn't need me. But when He called us home, it threw me for a loop. I mean, God, we're willing to be here. Why would you bench us, is what I thought. And here's what God called me. Here's what He told me. Taught me is a better word. Taught me. It wasn't just that He wanted my yes on the table to go or to stay. He wanted my yes on the table to follow Him, even if it meant leave. But I didn't want to lose the language that I learned, or the platform that we built, or the relationships that we had. I didn't want to give up. Of all things, one of the hardest things for me to lay down. When Megan and I came back, we said, okay, we can't go back to India, but we thought we were going to go to Greece. I thought, there's a nice consolation, right? Mediterranean, come on. Jackpot. And then we got denied our visa to Greece like a few weeks before you were supposed to go. And I'm back in the tailspin. God, what do you want me to do? I was talking to Forrest. And I was like, bro, I feel like we need to stay with the IMB because the first term you have is called an apprentice term. And in your term, there's so many requirements that you have to fulfill. Language and cultural acquisition, learning the strategy of your team, and you have to do this big capstone project that your supervisors approve. And if you fulfill all of that, you come back as a career missionary. And I finished my apprentice term. Even if I went to another country, they wouldn't make me go through those same kind of language requirements as before. Guys, I'm just going to tell you, I'm not good at learning language. I didn't want to let go of that apprenticeship. And Forrest's like, dude, that's not a good reason. That's not a good reason to cling to that, bro. You got to see what Jesus is doing. But it was hard to let it go until, by faith, I said, God, I'm scared. Whatever you want, that's what I want. if we can live in that place of, seriously, God, whatever you want is what I want, there is joy and there is freedom. But if you have fear, if you have anxiety about what God might do, that's not glad obedience. You see the difference? One more. Gospel Life Church. I came back. Wade Humphreys was the pastor at Longview Point when we came back from the mission field. We were living in the mission house that's next door to Longview Point. Great spot. And I called it my trail of tears. I'd walk back and forth to the... I'd sit in Frank's office and I'd cry. I'd sit in Jason's office and I'd cry. I'd sit in Wade Humphrey's office and I'd cry. And we'd pray and we'd seek to discern God's will. And I just would pray, God, I don't know what you want. If you just show me, I promise I want to do it. I just don't know. I don't know if I can hear your voice anymore. I don't know if you're guiding me. I don't understand. I don't know if I'm failing. I don't know if I'm chickening out and I'm just giving in or if you're redirecting me. So I'd walk and pray. I mean, y'all, as a honest and open prayers as you can pray, God, just if you show me, I'll do it. I just don't know what it is. So they hire me at Longview Point, our home church. Megan and I have been members there virtually our marriage. Nice consolation. Mission-minded church. They want to give me a place to play to try to learn, to try to use what we learned in India at the point. And I loved it. It was a great place to be on staff. Financial stability and people that actually want to be involved in ministry. Opportunity to influence the whole church for discipleship and strategy and outreach and evangelism. And to go on mission trips and they pay for me to go. I mean, it was a neat gig. And then God calls me to plant a church. And I'm like, wait a minute. Church planting is a young man's sport. I got teenagers that are about to drive and go to college. God, surely not now. And I'm holding it behind my back. Security. And I remember it like it was yesterday. And I got a bad memory. I'm walking in my gravel driveway, talking to God. And I finally come to the point where I say, God, if this is what you want, I'll do it. And immediately, my fear became joy. I remember saying, God, if I got to sell my house, we'll sell my house. If I need to get another job, I'll get another job. Whatever you want, I will do it. Glad. Obedience. And obedience produces gladness. Lest I preach all day. Let's wrap this thing up. Mary exemplified glad obedience. You don't say no, Lord. Servants do the will of their Lord. She said, let it be done to me according to your word. We must desire God's plan. So do you trust the Lord today with everything? Your whole life, with your family, with your kids, with your job, with your finances, with your security, your safety. Do you trust God with everything? Everything. Is he your Lord? And do you listen to him? Do you submit to the Lord? Do you recognize him as your boss? Do you realize that his favor and his plan may not mean an easy life? God called Mary to a hard task, but she had such an amazing role to play in his plan of redemption. Think about 2,000 years later, she's not worried about her social stigma. She got to give birth to the Savior for eternity. Focus on God's plan. Be willing to suffer for God's plan. Be willing to suffer for the redemption of the world. Remember that nothing will be impossible with God. Do you believe that? Do you believe that nothing is impossible with God? Do you believe that He can use you to reconcile the world to Himself? He wants to. He invites you to join Him. Those of us in Christ are clearly part of God's plan of salvation for the nations. We're clearly part of that plan. So, I just want to encourage you. Worship the Lord for His amazing plan of salvation. And here's how we're going to close. We looked back a minute ago from the beginning to the Savior, and Jesus is born, and John is the forerunner, and Jesus enters into public ministry. He preaches repentance because the kingdom of God is at hand. He performs miracles that absolutely show that He is who He says He is. He raises people from the dead. He calms seas. He walks on water. He feeds thousands with a little bit of food. He casts out demons. He heals blind people and deaf people. He is who He says that He is. And He does what He says He can do. And one thing He said, if we believe in Him, even though we die, we will not perish. Jesus went to the cross and He died the death of a criminal. But He had no sin. But the reason He died is because the Bible teaches us the wages of sin is death. Death must be paid for. Sorry, sin must be paid for by death. Jesus died sinless that He may be our substitute. And if we will recognize Him as Lord, and if we will turn to Him, He will forgive us and call us righteous. It's called charis, grace. It's called favor. Are you in His favor today? Have you trusted Jesus as your Lord and Savior? If you will, He'll forgive you. And if you haven't, please do. And if you have, let that motivate you this week to leave this place and live the gospel life. God became man. God came to this earth through the womb of a virgin to be born as a man to take away our sin. That should crank your tractor. It should make you leave this place ready to live for Him and His kingdom. It should help you to trust Him even when He calls you to hard stuff.